Persuading people to take the actions we want can be hard. Our teams and clients are bombarded with thousands of messages every single day. But there is a way for you to get above the noise. Stories. This is the Stories with Traction podcast, and I'm your host, Matt Zahn. Join my guests and me as we unpack the power of storytelling. We'll talk about topics like leadership, sales, and marketing all through the lens of strategic storytelling. Enjoy this episode. November of last year, I was speaking in Columbia, South Carolina, and I met a gentleman named Chris. We had a fascinating conversation regarding the future of work in the United States. I wanted to have him on the Stories with Traction podcast to dive even deeper into the points that he made and talk about what the workforce might look like this decade. So today I'm joined by Chris Stokes, who is the VP of Client Success and a partner at Intel Assist, which is a remote staffing company based in the Philippines. Thanks for joining us today, Chris.
Thanks for having me, Matt.
Yeah, I appreciate your time, and I really do appreciate what you do. It not only fascinates me, but I see it becoming more and more of a need with companies in the United States. So just to be clear, can you give people a little bit of a Cliff Notes version of your company, where you're based in the U.S. and the Philippines, and then we'll go from there?
Absolutely. So our business is actually pretty interesting. So we have been around since 2007. This is actually a family-owned and operated business out of the Philippines. So they started off, before I entered, doing mortgage refinance packages in 07. So as you can imagine, in 08, that didn't last very long. They transitioned into more of an architectural and engineering drafting support type business and started with a client out of California that they still have now, doing takeoffs, estimations, things like that. In about 2015, there was a joint venture created where split in ownership, one of the partners from the U.S. had purchased a portion of the business, you know, with the intent to, expand operations in the U.S. just due to the need that has existed here. And so the business since then has been, rapidly expanding. This is one of the businesses that COVID has really helped. People got very comfortable with remote staffing or remote work, I should say, during COVID. And so it's sort of opened people's minds to what's available. And, you know, if you're going to do remote staffing in the U.S., why not look abroad as well? So a little bit more about Intel Assist. We are about 1,000 employees right now. We consider ourselves a relatively boutique operation. You know, this is not a new concept. You know, there are, I believe Accenture started the BPO space, business process outsourcing. You know, we are sort of a niche player and we take a slightly different approach than I would say some of our larger competitors. Stated originally, we are family owned. So we heavily value our company culture. We want to have a very open, enjoyable operation and workforce where people want to come to work, right? It's not, that's, not new in the U.S., but actually relatively new in the Philippines. So it's that company culture partnered with traditionally higher wages that we offer our employees yields just a really positive environment, really high, high caliber employees that produce really well for us.
So there's one key element that I want people to zone into, which is you mentioning that COVID transitioned the workforce in your favor. And I think businesses should be thinking, different organizations should be thinking that how do we utilize this cultural shift for us? So as an example, people are so used to hybrid work that it's no surprise that we can continue to do that a lot, depending on the company, but a lot of companies can do that. Is there a way that they could drive down costs, but still keep the same amount of care that they would want from an employee? You know, I was telling you recently that I'm aware of companies that literally give their employees budgets to utilize Upwork and Fiverr, because what they're saying is, hey, this is the skill set that I'm wanting from a team member. If they could utilize Upwork and Fiverr to fill in the gaps, that is well worth them earmarking money to do so. But I've also heard from the same companies that it's not as easy as they would want, because they need to go out and get new people every time they're utilizing Upwork and Fiverr. There's a lot of barriers. There's a lot of organizational issues. So yes, at times they're saving money, but they could be increasing their headaches as well. So with that said, how would working with your organization be different than an Upwork or Fiverr?
Yeah, great question, Matt. So we position ourselves as a remote staffing firm. So much like a staffing firm would work in the US, where you would give the staffing firm a job description or a set of job descriptions and expect them to go out and find quality employees for your business, we do the same thing in the Philippines. The big difference being we are, I'll say, fishing in a really big pond. And like I mentioned, with our culture and pay, we're fishing with dynamite as well. And so what that allows us to do is, to your point, Matt, on the quality and cost standpoint, is really go out and hire incredibly qualified and experienced employees. And we don't ever sell our business on cost, because there's I would say all of our clients and employees, there's no low cost that you're, also there's no price that you're willing to sacrifice quality. And if you have accountants or customer care or engineers and they're having errors that are creating bad customer experiences, there's no price worth paying for that. So we target quality first and foremost. And yes, it happens to be cheaper. It's usually 50% or more the cost of what it would be in the US, but we're really, really targeting quality over cost. And I think that's another piece that separates us. And I'll go one step farther, and one of the biggest problems that we are solving for our clients is just availability. And effectively, full employment, turnover is high. I think our clients are looking for a stable solution that they can't get from the Fivers of the world, where you don't know how long you're going to have a resource. You don't know what the consistency or the quality is going to be. And we take all of that risk off the table for our clients and build that stability and provide all the services that filter out, I'll say, bad employees and get excellent ones.
So one of the things that you mentioned regarding the transition with COVID, there's another huge transition on the horizon, which is AI technology. And a lot of companies right now are buying in. They're trying to figure out how they could utilize this. But there's very little talk about companies outside the US utilizing this technology, because I see your industry becoming more and more of a need as other countries are educating their people on AI. So do you foresee a day where a lot of US-based companies would be utilizing a lot of services like you have, because AI is in other employees' hands? Meaning if a lot of your employees already know how to utilize that and companies could pay 50%+ less, why wouldn't they do that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's really, I don't think they're mutually exclusive. You know, to your point, it's AI plus a person that generates, higher quality than just a person alone. We've seen that with multiple clients now where they are using AI. Our agents are using AI, of course, being trained on that and producing better and better results at a lower and lower price point.
So do you foresee this becoming even more of a phenomenon where it's almost like, I hate to say a menu, but companies could literally look and say, hey, here's the kind of work we're going to get out of an employee over here. Here's the kind of skill set that we could utilize over here, and start putting the puzzle pieces together?
It's really I'll say you're competing for skill sets. Example, I'll say if we get a wish list on a job description that is, certain AI platforms, certain software platforms, experience in certain industries, we're able to take those requirements and again fish in that really big pond and find someone, that's really a direct fit, low training time. Obviously we're really reducing the learning curve. And then putting in, I'll say, the perfect fit for that client and for that company.
How do you foresee the quote-unquote gig economy changing the mindset when it comes to companies? Meaning, do you foresee a day where a company will say, hey, here's a project and we just need someone to work on this project, and then once it's over, they're done with that, and then they're looking for another skill set for another project, and it's kind of like a revolving door, but it's propped up by the notion of the gig economy. Do you foresee that happening more and more this decade?
I think you'll see that with price pressures, possibly, I'll say, instability that could become more and more prevalent. To your point around Fiverr earlier, we try to guard against that just because we feel the value in the people we hire is transferring that knowledge to them and keeping that knowledge internal to the company. And that project-based work doesn't guarantee you're going to keep that knowledge. So we personally try to avoid that. But to answer your question, I do think, you know, assuming we actually see a recession here, that could become more and more prevalent. But my recommendation would be, if you can avoid that as a company and hire full-time dedicated people that will, you know, be invested in your company and culture, that's always a higher return on investment.
For sure. For sure. Really good point. So I was very intrigued when you started listing off just some of the roles that you could fill, because I think a lot of the perception out there is when they hear about a worker from a different country, it might be like a lower skill type role. What are some of the roles that you can fill right now for companies? Just give us some examples.
Yeah. I mean, the reality, I'll say the easy answer is anything that can be done remotely. You know, we are not reinventing the wheel. I'm not sure we've ever reinvented the wheel on anyone we've hired. It's all existed with previous companies. And just to give you an example of why that is, you know, Accenture, you know, PricewaterhouseCooper, United Healthcare, Ernst & Young, Fleur Daniel, massive global companies have been in the Philippines for decades. And so that, in parallel with a really unbelievable education system that the Philippines has invested in, has just created this unbelievably skilled and talented workforce across a variety of industries. So with that broad answer, I will dial in. You know, we currently serve, let's call it, five main industries. So I will call it healthcare, where we're doing anything from patient services to prior authorizations to medical assistance to, you know, radiology techs to nurses. You know, anything in the healthcare space is that could be done remotely is a huge industry in the Philippines. As you may know, a lot of nurses come over on visa programs to the U.S. And so that's something that's been heavily invested in, and that's something we've seen a lot of growth in here recently. One of the other industries is, I'll say, architectural and engineering. So we hire a lot of, I'll say, licensed architects and engineers. They could be doing anything from, I'll say, mechanical to civil. We do a lot of structural work, especially in the concrete space. You know, very highly skilled, very specific roles that I'll say require a high level of accuracy in order to be successful with low error rates. The other space is accounting. So we hire a lot of CPAs, accounts payable, accounts receivable specialists, where it's a lot of, you know, a lot of our companies will have multiple systems, and trying to find someone that's knowledgeable and four different platforms can be difficult, but it's relatively easy for us, especially due to the extent of the accounting services already existing in the Philippines. I see customer care is a large space. You know, that's sort of the token role, but we, on top of providing really excellent customer service, we do a lot of sales as well to the customers. And, you know, our agents have actually surpassed our US counterparts in many cases. And so, you know, you think about it from a return on investment standpoint. One, it costs less. Two, they're generating more revenue. You know, it's a real win-win. We build a lot of teams around customer care. So, you know, quality assurance, trainers, project managers, you know, operations managers, all the support functions that would come into play there. And then, you know, some other roles that we we help our, I'll say, back office type roles. So it can be, you know, simple data entry, but then, you know, that can be a lot more detailed, especially based on the complexity of programs. Obviously error rates, you know, error rates is actually something that we really hang our hat on, especially in companies where, you know, I'll say write-offs can be a big detractor in their business. You know, we've been able to reduce write-offs for some of our clients by up to 90%, you know, saving them, you know, upwards of $1 million a year just on that fact alone.
Wow. Thanks for sharing that. I appreciate that. That's quite the list. That is quite the list.
And it's continuing to grow. So we're a little agnostic as to industry, but we've gotten, I'll say, very good at recruiting, finding, and retaining for those specifically.
So one of the things that I want to go back to, you mentioned company culture and how your organization does have a really good company culture that you're excited about. And that's really good. That's incredible. But what about companies that are listening to this episode and they think, well, what about if we bring someone on, how do we plug them into our current culture? So is there a training from maybe a cultural perspective from the Philippines to the US? Is there, what is a good way to bring someone on board and tie them into another existing company culture?
Great question. And one of the things that we encourage our clients to do is just that. So we have our own culture. Obviously the employees are on our payroll. They're employees of IntelliSys, but we always encourage our clients to adopt the people that we hire and that they encourage us to hire into their own culture. And, you know, the way we see that happening is the team that we hire, maybe it's a lead, maybe it's a project manager, depending on the size of the team. You know, if it's just one or two people, they may report to someone on the client side. If it's, you know, a team, maybe just a team lead or a project manager will report. But the idea is that is a new office for that client. And so any training the client has will be conveyed to those team members. We have clients that send, you know, sweatshirts and koozies and hats to their team members to make them feel like they're part of the team. And it's, you know, it's the classic, you get out what you put in. And so if you invest in the team that you hire, you spend time with them, you treat them like team members in the US, you're going to get an unbelievable return. And we find that, you know, our employees are unbelievably loyal to our clients as well.
So speaking of clients, you had mentioned to me that you, before joining IntelliSys, you were actually a client yourself. So I want to talk about that. What did you see in this organization? Why did you make the jump? What, take us through that journey.
Good question. So we had started a healthcare lending business where we were setting up 0% interest payment plans to patients, you know, at the point of sale in hospitals to help pay for high deductible, I'll say, out-of-pocket expenses. And so what we had used IntelliSys for was to hire two ladies that were doing everything from customer service to loan originations, which is how we set up the payment plans, to payment collections, and even a lot of back office work. And they were just incredible. You know, we had a net promoter score of 71, which is, I'll say, in a collection type space is I'll say somewhat unbelievable, but it's because, you know, I'll say their attention to detail, their empathy, their care. COVID, you know, I said COVID had been great for this business, IntelliSys, but it had been terrible for the healthcare business. And, you know, once elective surgeries stopped during COVID, it was sort of the final straw for that payment plan business. But I would say the level of service, the quality, and I'll say just the company in general were so good that, you know, moving the switch once offered was an easy decision. And funny enough, you know, the two ladies we had with that business, you know, even though we closed it down, are still employees of IntelliSys working with different clients. Now we were able to, you know, we always want to make sure we're keeping good people. And after all, we're in the people collection business. So we, you know, we make sure we held on to them and rolled them into, you know, new projects where they're thriving and delivering a lot of value for their projects as well.
Wow. So this really speaks to your belief in this. Like, you truly believe, based on what you've experienced, that this could work for other organizations. So based on that belief, where would they go from here? Let's say they understand the concept, they believe in the concept based on what you're saying. What are next steps for an organization to reach out and get involved in this process?
Yeah, what we typically recommend is an introductory call with myself or some of our counterparts here in the US to understand the client's business, the need, and make recommendations. And you know, there's one thing that, you know, we pride ourselves on is being very honest. And if we don't think we can help, we will tell you that. So I would recommend anyone that's interested to reach out via phone or email to myself, and you know, just start a conversation. And if we can't help you, we're certainly interested in pushing you in the right direction as well.
So I really appreciate this conversation. I do believe in what you do. I think it's only going to become more and more of a need. I really appreciate you mentioning that COVID transitioned the workforce. I would challenge leaders to, instead of continuing to complain about what COVID has done, how can they creatively utilize the cultural shift in their favor? You can do that. And then I also appreciate you talking about competing for skill sets. I know companies, you know, are starting to do this and make it part of their strategic planning, but not as much as they could. So, and I think that you can really help them with that as well. So if someone wants to get more information on your organization, where's the best place they can go to get that, Chris?
Yeah, our website has a plethora of information, some videos about our office. You can see our location, our people, everything on there is our company. And our website is intellassist.com.
Perfect. I'll include that in the show notes and people could just click and go from there. Thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you for listening to the Stories with Traction podcast. Please leave a review, since positive reviews will make it easier for others to find this conversation. Next episode will launch on Friday at 8 a.m. Eastern. Until then, remember, if you want to persuade with power and inspire those around you to action, you must share more stories.